Welcome back, everybody, to the Take the Shot podcast. It's your boy Zay, it's your boy Teddy, and we are here again after another weekend of college football and NFL action, and us watching the Astros with all fingers and toes crossed, hoping we can win this damn division. So we're back and looking forward to another great episode. But before we get into what we saw this weekend, I have to ask the question. Teddy, man, how you doing?
What up, man? I'm good. A lot of football watching. Celebrate my wife's birthday a couple of days this weekend. Shout out to her. Outside of that, man, I'm doing wonderful. Can't complain. Life is good. Family's good for the most part. So nothing too crazy going on. How about you, man? How's life in Zay's world?
Life in Zay's world is good. I went to Galveston this past weekend here in Texas, and had a good time. The weather turned out to be great. It was still hot, but I'm glad we didn't go during those 100 degree days.
It was all right. I don't know. It may have been cooler down there, but it was 102 here on Saturday in Austin. That was so sick.
Yeah, I think in Galveston, it was only like 95 or so, 94, but obviously it's still a little hot, but got a little bit of fishing in and, you know, got to go to the beach, you know, all that stuff and see the family.
Did you catch anything?
I didn't know. Family did, though. A lot of people were out there getting better luck than me. So it is what it is. That's okay. I got to watch the football I could, and I got my drink on, you know, how I get down. So
hey, man, that's all you need at the end of the day, man.
Some water and a nice cold one. Speaking of a cold one, it looks like this weekend in college football, there were no upsets in the top 25. All of the higher ranked teams appear to win. So we did have a good weekend of college football overall, I'd say. Not too many surprises, but the game of the week was Ohio State Notre Dame. Now, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I was out there, you know, doing other stuff on Saturday. But I did have this game on. And at the end of the first half, I was like, dang, man, 3-0. Is this what we got going on here for the game of the week? Well, you know, but the ending ended up being great. Notre Dame thought they had it in the bag. I thought they did, too, going towards the end. The fact that they made, especially after that jet sweep that Ryan Day called, I'm like, dog. What are we doing out here?
That was suspect, to say the least.
What are we doing out here, dog? But Ohio State didn't end up coming out with the win 17-14 when they walked it off due to a pretty bad coaching error on the Notre Dame side with having 10 men on the field for the final play of the game. Ohio State ends up doing a running play. Gets the ball across the goal line and scores with no time left on the clock. Teddy, you got to see this from beginning to end. You said you got a lot of football in this weekend. What did you think?
Man, I'm going to disagree with you. This is one of the worst games I've seen between two ranked matchups in recent memory. This was just bad football, in my opinion. McCord is terrible. Mark it down now. Whatever the spread is, Penn State, Michigan, when they play Ohio State, take the other team. They have a very good to great to maybe borderline elite defense. That offense is terrible. If you basically double team Marvin Harrison Jr., their running backs stink. This is more on Notre Dame losing. It's always that loser mentality of dropping back into this cover two prevent and letting this dude drive 96 yards. This is more about Notre Dame choking the game. And also not having 11 people on the defensive side, two plays in a row.
You
the
can't
coaches
do that.
cost Notre Dame this game, in my opinion. I mean, you could see, and even with 10 men, Ohio State barely got in the end zone on a play they should have just walked in. Like, the dude almost dove, and his knee was barely hovering above the ground before he crossed the pile line. So, this was not a good game at all. Neither of these teams, I believe, in my opinion, are top. I think Notre Dame is better. Will be better as the season goes on. Like, if you rematch this, I think Notre Dame would win.
Yeah.
I think this was a survive and advance type of game for Ohio State. I don't think they're a top five team, let alone a top 10 team. I think they're fraudulent. I think it kind of shows that both of these teams are kind of frauds. Obviously, Notre Dame can show something. They play Florida State in a couple of weeks, but
So Kyle McCord didn't do anything for you with that last drive.
Terrible.
It was the prevent.
Nah.
It was the prevent defense. Yeah,
it was a prevent defense, and them basically playing soft zone, trying not to get up the big play. But the thing is, when you do that, I'd rather give up a 98-yard bomb or a 50-yard bomb, and then to play this defense because they had multiple timeouts. You know, they weren't doing anything the whole entire game.
Yeah,
you know?
at least you make them with the I have a rebuttal on the prevent part, or at least you make the quarterback make the throw, right? So you have Kyle McCord, especially someone of his caliber. I kind of agree with Notre Dame saying we don't think you can do it. We don't think you can hit four straight passes on our defense and get down the field. Now I did have an issue with some of these dudes are running pretty wide open. That was just because you play a safe defense doesn't mean they should be that wide open. Like these dudes have like 5 or 6 yards of separation. The safety's 5 to 6 yards back. I don't think it should have been that much prevent, but I agree with the thing of I'd rather you have to throw this ball in a window 6 straight times or 5 straight times than I give up one big fade route and that's it and it's over. So I can see what they were doing there, but it just pretty much put it in on Kyle McCord's shoulders saying, you got to do this yourself. You got to drive down the field and do it. And he did, but I agree with you that it wasn't like he was impressive. I was telling you, at the halftime, it was 3-0. I was like, bro, I'm going outside. I'm going to go play some bones or something. Like, this was not something that was a bar. That was a, you know, flash in the pan, great high-flying game to watch. I agree that this was probably one of the slower top 10 matchups that we've ever seen. But, I mean, Ohio State's undefeated, man. They got the win, and McCord's only going to get better. So do you think they have no chance against Michigan at all?
They have no chance against Michigan or Penn State. They have zero chance. If they win, I would be shocked, and Penn State needs to fire James Franklin. If they lose, they need to fire him on the spot. That's how bad I think Ohio State is this year.
Wow. Okay.
I just don't think they're a good team. Like, I think there's probably 10 teams that can win the national championship. Ohio State is not one of them.
I mean, that's tough, but you're right. I think they did not. They had a chance to really showcase who they are, and they fell really flat. Yeah. They fell flat. I think they should run. I mean, they ran the ball quite a bit. I guess they got 14 carries for Trayvon Henderson, 104 yards. That needs to be their identity. Keep the ball out of McCord's hand. I'm just looking at the stats here. He threw the ball 37 times. I think that's way too many for the kind of quarterback he is. You got to pound this rock and play action to Marvin Harrison Jr., and that's going to be your offense. I know Ohio State is spread style, but I don't think they have the dynamic quarterback to be able to really run that. It's going to be tough. Who else? Let's see who they got next on the rest of their schedule. I mean, Maryland, Purdue, then home against Penn State. So they got two games that they should win, and you're calling a loss against Penn State.
They might not even be Maryland. Let's be real. Like,
Tua are not Tua, but the other Tua's brother coming in and knock it off. Ohio State.
Like, they're not a good football team. Like, they had one big play with Trayvon Henderson with 61-yard touchdown. Uh-huh. And then the rest of the game, I mean, it was an awful game all around. But, like, dude was 21 for 37. Like, he's barely over 50%.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's not.
Trayvon Henderson, outside of that 61-yard run, had 13 carries for 50 yards. That's awful. Like, they're not a good football team. And Notre Dame's defense is elite, I will say. But, like, they've been doing this all year. Their offense is just pedestrian. This dude sucks. Like, I just don't think Ohio State is a good team. And listen, we're spending too much time on a game that was frankly the worst and not enough time on this Washington State-Oregon State game, which was 38-35. That was the best game of the weekend, and showing that the Pac-12 is the best conference in the nation right now, and it's so sad that this is also the last year of this conference in the nation.
Yeah, I agree with you too. I caught some of the highlights of this game and I was just like, wow, both these teams surely deserve to be in the top 25. They're the last two remaining of what's going to be the Pac-2 conference next year. I'll ask this though. Do you think that if the Pac-12 for the most part, I mean, obviously you got to USC and, you know, UCLA's or whatever, been up there for a while, Washington. Is it bad that they beat up on each other so much? Like for this year with so many good quarterbacks in the conference, you would think that would help them with TV deals and things like that, but it hasn't. Like they haven't had that true perennial college football playoff, like all the time top four team every year, but they've been better than most conferences across the board. Has that helped them or hurt them? I think it's hurt them a bit.
I think that what happened is with after the whole thing with Pete Carroll leaving, and, you know, it was really just Oregon kind of holding that conference up. And, you know, Oregon's Oregon. They made two national title games, and they, you know, but outside of that, all you really had make the college football playoff was Washington. And then Washington, you know, ended up losing 38-0 to you know, to Alabama.
Yep.
So they just kind of just been there. They didn't have, you're right on the consistency. Like basically ever since the 03 to 05, the Pac-12, Pac-10 has never had a consistent player in the game besides Oregon. And it, really Oregon was only there three times, you know? So like, I think it's just the unfortunate timing that everything blew up before the season. And I mean, you kind of saw this at the end of the year, like, all right, you're gonna have, you know, Washington State's quarterback come back, you know, Cam Rising's gonna be back, Caleb Williams obviously gonna be back, Michael Penix Jr. is back, and it's set up. And then you got DJ Uiagalelei coming, transferring from Clemson, Oregon State. It's like, all right, then we got another one. I think it's just unfortunate timing with all the stuff and, you know, them not reaching the TV deal. So it's sad to see, but it's great. Like they're the only them. And I think the Big Ten are the only ones that realistically, I think could have two teams in this last Final Four that we have before we go to the 12. Like,
yeah,
because there's a path to where like Washington beats USC in the regular season, and then Washington's undefeated or vice versa, and then USC or Washington beat the other one or whoever the two are in the Pac-12 championship. And it's like, all right, if they went through this gauntlet of all these quarterbacks and all these hard teams, like they both deserve to be in a college football playoff, obviously. Yeah,
we get the SEC effect, or what used to be the SEC effect, where it's like, well, you know, if a one-loss SEC team is, you know, lose, or that loss is in the championship game, but they went through the gauntlet, you know, that used to be almost an automatic, or maybe you put both in. And I think the Pac-12 teams are good enough to do that this year. And the, like you said, the timing is just where it's so rough, because maybe this is when it gets on a roll, because the conference is now becoming more popular. You got a lot of teams in the top 25 with some great quarterbacks, and that helps recruiting, and you build momentum that way. And that's how you get that perennial potential powerhouse team. But I mean, the conference is not going to exist next year. Which sucks. But yeah, I would say that this Washington State Oregon State game was pretty good. I got to see the highlights, and that was way more fun to watch, I bet, than Ohio State Notre Dame. Like that.
I mean, you even had a good game with Arkansas and LSU. It ended up being a 3-point ball game. There was some pretty good. There was no real upsets. I guess you can say Washington State was an upset because technically they were ranked lower.
Oregon State. That's right.
Yeah, Oregon State. I mean, I wouldn't say that. I mean, that much. I mean, Alabama beat Ole Miss. But USC, man, y'all let them hang around a little too much.
Don't get me started.
Arizona State. So I didn't end up watching all this game. I ended up passing out about, I don't know, I think it was like middle of the third quarter, and y'all I think y'all just scored to take a 2-touchdown lead, but I was like, Man, Arizona State's not that good of a football team.
Man,
and
I was like, why? I said it week one. We can't stop the run, bro. It is it. I oh my gosh, man. It is just it's ridiculous. I think that I guess I will say this. They're more timely runs that Arizona State did. I tried to watch some of it as much as I could. I didn't get a chance to watch the game from start to finish, but yeah, our between both sides of it, our rush defense and our pass defense, we can't put teams away. And you think we'd be able to do that with the amount of rushing that we do? We can run the football. Obviously, Caleb Williams, he's going to do his thing and Heisman caliber player and Heisman caliber performances, but we can't put the nail in the coffin. Like this, I don't think Arizona State trailed by more than, I want to say, 10 the entire game, really. Or if they were down by 10, that exact next possession they would score, which is unacceptable against Arizona State. Like, I don't know, man. Colorado coming in here, I got to find that spread because I think Colorado may come in at least match the spread. If it's a double-digit spread or something high enough at like 17 or 21, 25, I think they could cover that because what I saw, what's his name? Was it Pine? Yeah, Drew Pine from Arizona State.
Yeah.
What he was able to do and the way they were running the football and the receivers were tearing us up across the board. Man, Shador may have a field day. I'm actually kind of concerned about that. I don't think we lose, but I got to take the spread on that one because I think Colorado may cover.
Well, and, right and now it's minus 21 and a half.
Oh, man. I might take that. Because this could be the highest scoring game of college football season.
So if you're saying that, are you saying Oregon's better than USC then? Because if Oregon won 49-3 or whatever it was, are you saying that when Oregon USC play, Oregon's gonna win basically?
I'm saying Oregon does have a better defense. I don't know if they're gonna beat USC. Because I'm not going to discount that Caleb Williams Heisman magic. Because we've got one of the best players, if not the best player in college football still. So I can't say that they're better. I'll take Caleb Williams over Bo Nix, obviously, any day of the week. But their defense really, really concerns me. I thought at this point they'd be a little bit further along.
Yeah.
I think the final score of 42-28 doesn't really do it justice of how close this game was throughout the entire time. I cannot say Oregon is better. I'm not gonna do it. Can't make me do it. I see what you did there, trying to walk me into it. Not gonna do it. I think that it's gonna be a very close game between Oregon and USC, but Colorado USC for the big noon kickoff game. I think Colorado will probably cover. Cause
dude, that's a rough time slot for West Coast teams.
No kidding. Is that 9 a.m. their time? Is it 10 a.m.? Is it in Colorado?
So Colorado would probably be 10 a.m., I think. But yeah, for USC, it's going to feel like 9.
Oh, imagine, bro. Wake up, have a cup of coffee, strap up, play some football.
Like, that's crazy.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So yeah, we'll see who's better prepared. I think this obviously what the Vegas is saying as well. This is a game USC should win next week, but we got to do better on defensive side of the ball. Got to do better. I'm not seeing the production I thought I would from our transfers, especially on the defensive line. I'm not seeing it. There's no reason that they should be put. Arizona State should have kept it that close. 28 points. You could argue and say, well, it's not a little, but it's not a lot. So you could argue that, but not for a top five team. That's a little much. Or a top 10 team. That's not acceptable to a 1-3 Arizona State.
It's really not. But I mean, it's the same thing, man. So survive in advance, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So we'll see. I've kind of jumped the gun there talking about USC Colorado, but I think they cover. I really think they cover in that game. I do. Someone else that I would say survived outside the Pac-12. What do you think about that Florida State game, man, against Clemson? Was that a trap game, or is Florida State not as good as we thought they were, or is Clemson better?
I just think it was a tough game on the road, 11 a.m. I mean, it was just one of those games to me, and it's kind of one of those things where, like, it's a survive in advance type of game.
Mm-hmm.
it's tough to win no matter how good or how bad you think Clemson is this year. It's always tough to go into Clemson and win, you know, especially with all eyes on you. It's your really your first, you know, it's your next biggest test since LSU. You know, you played a couple ho-hum games. They came off of a bad showing against Boston College. So right now they're kind of just squeaking by. They haven't really like impressed me to the point that they did against LSU, which I don't know if that was just like the week one they got the better of LSU, or this is who Florida State really is. They're gonna squeak by. They don't have, you know, an all-world defense. I don't know. I still think they're a good team. I still think they win ACC. I still think they go to college football playoff. But the Miami game in a couple weeks is gonna be tricky for them.
Yeah, I was just
That's
gonna
not a
say that.
gimme. It's not a gimme as I thought it was about, I don't know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and
So
Duke is feisty. I think their defense is pretty good at Duke, but I think they'll win that game. But
I mean,
they're at home against Duke, so and home
I
against
think,
Miami.
see, the thing about Duke too is they have a good game this week. They're 4-0. They have Notre Dame at Duke. Notre Dame could lose two in a row. Like
Yeah,
Duke ain't no joke. Duke ain't gonna roll over. This is not the normal Duke. Duke ain't gonna roll over. I think that's gonna be a really good. That's may go down as one of the best games this week.
Maybe so. And I mean, they only gave up 7 points to Clemson. And so, I mean, that defense is pretty good. What are their scores? I mean, they played Lafayette, Northwestern, and UConn, but they haven't given up more than 14 points in the game so far. And the way Notre Dame's offense looked against Ohio State, granted, you could say Ohio State has a better defense than Duke, but it ain't, like you said, it ain't gonna be no pushover, man. It's not gonna be a pushover. And that's a 6:30 game on what, ABC? Duke's at home against Notre Dame? Man, I would have
I know,
seen it.
man. That's gonna be a good game. I think that's gonna be a good game. I think, you know, there's a couple of good games, but to, you know, to finish up with the rest of the week, I mean, yeah, Florida State, they did what they did. Texas came out and trounced Baylor.
Oh, yeah.
Or Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin still can't win a big game. I mean that was just sitting there for them to beat Alabama, and they just
Yep.
look like dog water. Iowa are frauds again, like they always are. They got blown out 31-0. Utah, LSU, Utah, man, their defense is just out of this world good. If
Yeah.
they ever get Cam Rising back, I mean, watch out. Like that's gonna be a team that they can trip up the USC's, the Oregon's, and the Washington's in that conference. Another
Yeah.
team who's overrated, man, is Oklahoma. They look so bad against Cincinnati. I watched most of that game on a little quad box. Shout out YouTube TV.
Yes, sir.
They 20-6. Cincinnati's offense just couldn't get anything going. Their defense is good. Their offense is just, I feel like Texas is going to beat them by like 30 next week.
Yeah. And I can't even say they were looking ahead because their next game is against Iowa State. So I don't know what Oklahoma did laying up a basically an egg against Cincinnati. I don't know what's going on, if the game plan was off or whatever, or if they got film now on them and people have figured them out. But yeah, I'd agree. They better flip the boat or turn the script around by the time it gets to Texas because it's going to be rough. Rough ride if they're going to Texas playing like they did at Cincinnati here. I agree with you. That's Big 12 still pretty much goes through Texas. I haven't seen anything in the Big 12 to give me pause that Texas still can't run the table at this point in the season.
Nah, and they honestly, to wrap up college football, they have one of the bigger games this week too. Like Kansas at Texas. I mean, the last time Kansas walked into DKR, they won in triple overtime.
Yep.
I think this fan base is gonna be a little bit nervous for this game. The number three in the nation, you know, the next week they get OU as a top five team. 17 is a lot, man. And Kansas is just like Duke, man. They got a good football team. Like, I could see Kansas walking in here. and winning. I can't.
Walking into DKR, giving the Longhorns their first loss?
I don't think it will happen. But if it gets to the fourth quarter and it's close and you're going to have some nervous people there, because I think that's one of the better games of the week, in my opinion. I'm totally against you. I think USC beats Colorado by 40.
Okay.
Colorado doesn't have defense. They're not big. And we were, like we said, and it's no hate, they're going to be great next year. They're going to make a bowl probably this year. Colorado's offense defensive line is some of the worst in the Power Five, let alone Division One.
Yeah.
They're just too small to go against these teams week in and week out. I think USC wreaks havoc. I think they win big in this game. Like, I see people turning that game off in the middle of the second quarter. I think
I
it's
so.
One of those things. It's 35-7.5, and then USC wins, 48-15 or something. Towards the end. I don't think that game's close at all. I think Notre Dame Duke, that's going to be a good game. Outside of that, the slate's kind of eh, but you never know with these okay slates that, you still have random games like Washington has to go to Arizona. Like, that's going to be a 9 o'clock Pac-12 game. Those are always dicey,
Yep. Pac-12 after dark. You're right. And that's the thing we were talking about. Like, we thought this past week was going to be, oh man, it's going to be a great week of college football, all these good games, ranked teams going against each other. And it ended up being a relatively, normal slate. Who was supposed to win for the majority of the time won. But it's these weeks like this where it's like, oh, there's nothing really big going on. It's big, spreads across the board. Nothing really that I'm looking forward to in regards to huge top five matchups, and those sometimes end up being the best weekend. So you never know. You never know. LSU, Ole Miss, we've got 13 versus 20, but yeah, I think Ole Miss wins that game. I mean, loses that game. Sorry, I'm not taking Ole Miss in that. LSU still can win the national title. I'm just saying, sticking with my pick. So
I mean, they we'll could. See. I mean, their only loss right now is to, the number. Whatever Florida State is number two team in the nation, or number four, or whatever they are. The rankings keep going. They're like, they drop people for no reason. Like, then USC dropped to eight.
Yeah, we dropped to eight.
They dropped like three spots
from five. Yes, for just because people were like, oh, we half probably fell asleep halfway through the game because this West Coast game and Arizona State hung around too close. And they were like, ah, drop them. So. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, why? Like, I don't get some of that stuff, man. Like, the whole, like, there's no reason to drop them just to bring up Ohio State, Like,
oh, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat, man. They're trying to already massage who they want to be in the college football playoff so they can say, well, at this point in the season, they beat this ranked team, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's conspiracy. Them dudes in the boardroom table all in their leather chairs around this wooden table like, all right, what gets us the best TV ratings? How can we finesse Texas into the college football playoff? It's pretty much how it's going.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But, like, for Ohio State to jump, all the way, I mean, yeah, they beat a ranked team, but USC didn't do anything to get dropped. Three spots
three
or whatever.
Three spots, yeah.
That's weird. That just doesn't matter. I mean, obviously it'll play out in the end. Doesn't really matter. But that's just, to me, that's just like, that's kind of garbage. There's
it's
no
asinine.
Reason.
It's asinine. It is.
All right, fair. Yeah, it's definitely asinine. Yeah, I mean, we'll see college football. It always, these ho-hum weeks always produce someone getting upset or something like that. So we'll see.
Yep, we will see. Look forward to talking about that next week as we move on to the NFL. I was watching a game the other day, and I didn't realize it was a real game. I thought it was Madden. The Dolphins hung up 70 points. They put it on rookie and put all the AI sliders to zero and decided to just score all the touchdowns they wanted to. In video game mode, the Dolphins destroyed the Broncos 70-20. don't know if you got a chance to watch this game, but the Broncos pretty much had the Mike Tomlin. It was a losing effort, just like mine, where everybody on the field just did not want to play, apparently, on the defensive side of the ball. So after watching that game, do you think that the Dolphins could have the best offense ever in a season in the NFL history?
Nah, I mean, they're not better than that 08 Patriot team, and I don't think they're better than the 99 Rams.
Do Manning's 2013 Broncos?
Yeah, they were good too. You know, until they got to the Super Bowl and got trounced. Yeah. But
pretty much.
I mean, the same thing with the Patriots. The only team that had, you know, that great of an offense and won a Super Bowl was the 99 Rams. And they had a bend don't break defense. And that, I mean, they came within a half a yard of going into overtime against the Titans. So I mean, I think they're the best team in football right now. I'll give them that. I think they have a very good defense. They have an elite offense. No one can guard Tyreek Hill. My boy Patrick Surtain just got embarrassed.
Oh, man.
And he's the best cornerback in the league, hands down. We'll just end this debate with Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill is just – he's right up there with Justin Jefferson, in my opinion. Like, he's got it. Him and Devontae, I think we said about this last week, I think they're interchangeable. What Tyreek Hill did against one of the best cornerbacks in the league, I think he was targeted 9 times. He had 7 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown.
Ooh.
Just on Surtain alone. It was a bad day for Surtain, but it also goes to show you that Tyreek Hill's that dude. And the way they move him around, it's just hard to guard someone that quick and that great. What I think a lot of people, I think, underestimated about Tyreek, how he was used with the Chiefs, is that he's a good to very to great route runner too. Like, he's not just all speed, which a lot of these people, like a Marquise Goodwin or, you know, players like that, they're just one note. They have speed.
Yep.
Tyreek has elite speed, and he has great route running.
Yeah, he's great feet coming off the line. And the fact that in that offense, the motion they use keeps him from getting jammed, right? Because the first thing I'm thinking is like, all right, Tyreek Hill, I got to get my hands on him, right? Because if he's come running at me, there's nothing I can do to guard this guy. But the way they use him, keeping him off the ball and using a lot of motion with them, even putting him in the backfield sometimes, is just outstanding creativity. Like, the Mike McDaniel is just, he's just playing, you know, chess where everyone's playing checkers, man. And I get the Dolphins' offense is great, but I, as a Bronco fan, how do you accept your team putting up this type of performance? There is no way in hell. I know they're all fast. The offense is tricky. What were you preparing for all week, man? Like, what did you, they didn't do nothing really new. They didn't bust out some new trick play or something crazy that the NFL hasn't seen before. And half the touchdowns were rushing touchdowns. What, they have 6 rushing touchdowns or 5 of them were rushing touchdowns? Like, stopping the run ain't nothing, like, that's not nothing crazy. There's no scheme really for that. You put your body in the hole and you tackle the guy. I don't know what was going on with that.
Yeah, I just think it was, I'm surprised no one's gotten fired yet. Because that, to me, that's a fireable offense. Like, and people were like, oh, they shouldn't be running up. Like, stop them. Like,
yes,
Joseph, that was just that's a fireable offense type of game.
Absolutely.
Your team, once they got down, just quit. And that's to everybody on that defense. They just gave up. The offense wasn't really doing them any justice. I mean, obviously they got some more stuff in as the game was out of hand. Marvin Mims is the only bright spot right now to me for the Broncos. Javonte looked good. You know, him coming back from his ACL and MCL tear.
Yeah. I think Russell looked better. He looked better. I don't say
that. He looked better. But
to be fair, the floor is low.
It's low. I mean, all I got to say, I mean, they have to start him. I will be, to me, I'm gonna be shocked. I'm gonna be shocked if he is a quarterback if they lose again. Like, talk about the worst game of the century coming up on Sunday.
Oh,
The
yeah.
Bears and Broncos. And here's the thing about the Bears, and we'll get to them in a second. The fact that you're underdogs at home to a team that just gave up 70 points shows how garbage your team is. That's sad.
It is that that's I don't even know how to describe that. Like, how does a team who just got blown out by 50 points, 50 points? I mean, this is like a it was like an AAU basketball score against the number one team versus an unranked team is what the Dolphins and Broncos just had.
Right.
And they're still favored against the Bears. And
That's
the Bears are
wild.
at home.
So if we had to do like a quick AFC power ranking of like the top three teams, would you say it's the Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Browns? Like,
No, the Bills. I'd say the Bills are three after the two games they've just put up, scoring 30 plus points.
I'm still not a believer. I
And
think they play
really?
two. I think they play two. I think we gave overhyped the Commanders defense. It also helps when the quarterback throws four interceptions and you get the ball back in your plus territory like six different times, including that fumble. Like that, I felt like that was just a game that the defense won more than their offense. Because Antonio Brown fumbled, they got the ball back at like 12. Interceptions for the most part. I think three of the four were in plus territory when they got the ball back. They had a pick six. I think that game showed more that the Broncos or the Bills defense is a little bit better. I still, and then they had that one big chunk play after the turnover to Gabe Davis. I'm still not a believer in Josh Allen and this team. It probably lightens up and they probably make the playoffs. So I'm probably going to be wrong about that. Just because the Patriots are terrible and having Zach Wilson in your quarterback is just it's
That's
not a viable option.
we'll get to
So
them in a bit.
I'll give you that. They're probably three. I think if the Browns played them, I think the Browns beat them. I think Deshaun, the way he played this week, was like, okay, maybe he's worth 200 something million dollars because he basically was 70 something percent completion, no turnovers, a couple touchdowns. He ran well. They dominated the Titans. Titans are not a very good team, but I think you're right about the Browns. Think you're right about the Browns.
I'm saying, and I think the Bengals are. I mean, they got their win, last night, or they got their win on Monday Night Football, but
Yeah,
they're
that
a
was
little
bad though.
shaky. Yeah,
That was bad.
they're a little shaky. So yeah, I would put the Bills at three, then in the Browns at four, and I think you've got, those flipped. But yeah, I mean, the AFC, and we'll know for sure this coming week because the Bills play the Dolphins, so we'll get a real look about how good this Bills team really is, and that may shake up the rankings a little bit, but. I think with Josh Allen only having one turnover in the past two games, that's his big thing, right? I think the Bills can just, that's the only issue, I think. They can move the ball. Their defense can get stops, but it's when Josh Allen throws those stupid passes up for 40 yards for picks or tries to do too much, then he gets into trouble. And we're going to see where his head's at because Miami's going to put up points. Let's not act like the Bills are going to hold them to 7 or 3 like they did the Commanders and Raiders or whatever over the past 2 weeks.
Right.
It's not going to be that low scoring a game for the other team. So I just want to see, this is his second test, if Josh Allen can keep his head on straight and not feel like, oh man, they've got 21, 28 points. I got to chunk the ball 40 yards downfield to Stephon Diggs, even though he's double, triple covered. Like, chill. Run the offense, which it looks like he's been doing the past 2 weeks, and the Bills will be fine. Like, I don't think they have as much overall offensive talent as the Dolphins do. But I think Josh Allen is still a better quarterback than Tua. Yes, I said it. I know Tua's, clamoring for MVP this year, but I think Josh Allen is more dynamic. If you can mess up the Dolphins script, which no one has been able to do yet. But if you can mess up that script and just throw him off that timing, you could beat the Dolphins. Like, Tua just hitting that back foot and letting it fly, and it's working. But if you can throw that off, you can throw a wrench in that, the team becomes a whole lot different, and he can't get the ball to that speed. Josh Allen, you get to him, he can still make plays. So I'm very excited to watch that game this coming weekend, the Dolphins and the Bills. So I want to see
the spread on that one.
Let's take a look here. So Dolphins and Bills, the spread is Buffalo by 2.5, and they're at home.
Nah.
You taking the Dolphins, Miami's?
Dolphins straight up.
Dolphins straight up? Okay.
Yeah. I don't need the points.
Okay. Okay. I'm probably going to take the over in that game regardless. 53?
What's the over? 53? Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Let's go to the team that you love to hate.
How yes.
About them Cowboys.
How? About
Cardinals,
them Cowboys.
Beat the Cowboys 28-16. So I'm going to let you have the floor first. Do you think this was a fluke, or is this a sign of what to come? And the Cowboys pulling a Clemson, and are they cowboying already?
Oh, let me tell you, I don't want to channel my inner Stephen A. Smith, but boy, how about them Cowboys? Cowboy like they always cowboy. This is a game in the NFC they should have won. They needed to win, but they came out flat. Dak Prescott, I want to say, had a pick in the red zone and was 1 for 7 inside the 20. It just shows, man, that when this team gets behind and Dak has to get off script and make big plays, big throws, he can't do it. He can't do it. Now, I will say that the Cowboys looked like they were flat, too, when this game started. Whose fault is it when the team comes out flat? That's preparation and motivation. That's one person's job, the head coach. And now, lo and behold, Mike McCarthy can't get it done. The coach and quarterback of this team are going to be their downfall like it is every single time. It's just a matter of time. I think they got exposed. Basically, I think they got bullied a little bit by the Cardinals. The Cardinals were fired up and ready to win this game. Granted, they know they're not a good team, so it's kind of like their de facto Super Bowl when these supposedly good teams come into town. But still, if you're going to be an elite-level team and make an NFC championship, these are games you can't lose in this kind of fashion, right? You can't look this porous against a bad team in the red zone. They did move the ball a little bit between the 40s and between the 20s, but in the red zone, not good. And it was. I was sitting there watching it, and I'm like, all right, let's see if Dak Prescott can make a big throw. Nope. Final drive. Oh, that's a pick. Oh, what do you know? Interception machine, Dak Prescott. Like, he comes out when he has to throw the football and put the team on his shoulders. That's what happens every time. And I've seen this episode. I've seen this Sunday night episode every time. This is what he does. So when I was watching the game, watching the shout out to YouTube TV in the multi-box, when I was watching this, I was like, all is right with the world. Same old Cowboys. So does that mean they won't make the playoffs or something? No, I haven't changed any of that. But you know what's going to happen when they do make the playoffs, right? We know what's going to happen. It's going to come down to a drive or two where Dak Prescott has to throw the ball, and he's not going to be able to make the throw. That's it. Close thread, in rant. That is what I saw from the Cowboys. I don't think it's a fluke. I think it's just who they are. I think it's just the way their offense is going to work, where they can't get behind and their defense is going to have to carry them in a lot of these games. And if their defense can't do it, the Cowboys will not be able to put up enough points off Dak Prescott's arm to win games. Sorry, Cowboys fans. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed.
All right. Well, I hate the kind of going to bat for the Cowboys, but I mean, I think it's a fluke. Man, they were out. Three other five offensive linemen were out. They lost Trayvon Diggs and ACL for the season. I just think it was one of those games that they were destined to lose. Or I wasn't surprised that they lost. The way that they did lose is kind of like,
it's raise eyebrows.
Is Diggs really that guy? like, you know, because you still have Michael Parsons, but like Joshua Dobbs was kind of like, you know, and a lot of his stuff was, you know, he dumped off. He had that big, you know, Rondale Moore had that screen for a touchdown. I was like, what, 40, 50-yard touchdowns. So, you know, they had, I mean, you narrowed it down all the way. Dak looked awful. The Cardinals don't have a bad defense, but they, you know,
You
to
can't
lose
be
a team,
yeah,
to
NFC
lose a,
Championship Cowboys, you got to be able to handle that defense.
yeah, to for a team who supposedly may or may not be tanking, it was a bad look to lose. It's just, it's tough to win without your offensive line, though. No matter who it is, especially if three or five starters are out. And I don't know, man. Maybe Pollard can't be the one. They I think they need to incorporate Deuce Vaughn a little bit more. I don't really see Tony Pollard being a three down back. I think you gotta spell him a little bit more with Deuce Vaughn, get a little bit of thunder lightning type of action going. I think they'll be okay. They're gonna make the playoffs. They probably could still win a division. I mean, you know, the Eagles looked good last night, you know.
Yeah, if you can't move the ball and score points against the Cardinals defense, like, what are you gonna do against the Eagles defense? And you better hope that offensive line gets healthy soon, because we're looking good with our D tackles of Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. Like, we're getting after people. So the Cowboys better do something, or it's gonna get ugly when they play Philly, and it's gonna be a blowout. I understand they were out linemen, which is that's a huge thing for Dak, right? Dak is semi-mobile at best to me. He can run a little bit, but he ain't moving too much anymore. And yeah, having your alignment missing is a big deal for a quarterback. But I mean, there was just a couple holes and mental lapses everywhere. Especially Joshua Dobbs went 17 for 21.
Yeah.
Joshua Dobbs went 17 for 21 against the NFL's best defense. I mean, what are we doing? What are we?
I
So
mean, you're not wrong.
That's not, to me, that can't be explained. That's just bad coaching, and bad preparation, and Dak Prescott just being who he is. And then when that rears its ugly head, they just can't function. That offense just shuts down, and the defense is still lights out. I think, you know, the Diggs loss is bad, but that is still a top three defense, I'd say, in the NFL. And you can't, if they're gonna have lapses, they're gonna have blips. And you need the offense to step up, and it has the weapons to do so, but they just threw an offer. So I don't know. So I think it's just, I've seen this story last year. I see it every year. So I'm gonna stop piling on the Cowboys, but y'all need to get it together, man. Let's see who the Cowboys got next. They got, oh, the Patriots. They should win that game. If they lose to the Patriots, oh man, I'm gonna be
God,
insufferable on this show.
Mac Jones is so bad. I feel so bad for the Jets defense, man. Like, they should have won that game. Like,
Oh yeah.
they gotta go get somebody, man. Whether it's like, dude, trade for Trey Lance at this point, you know. Let him go to New England, or I don't know, call somebody, trade for, you know, I don't even know who's available. Like, 'cause now David Carr's hurt, so you obviously can't trade for Jameis.
Yeah. The Jets is gonna be, oh, man,
I don't
like
know.
Robert Saleh is gonna mess around and lose that locker room, man. Like, just to be so hyped up and be so amped up for a Super Bowl run, especially with that defense, and to now just be in a point where you'll be lucky if you're third in the division, like that's tough. That is really a tough spot to be in. I think you got to get somebody. But see, here's the question about getting somebody though. I don't know if you've heard this rumor floating around that it could be Kirk Cousins, right? Even if you bring like a Kirk Cousins in there, I mean, he's not going to take you to the Super Bowl. You think if Kirk Cousins is in there and learns the offense, he could, or that's the point, learning the offense first mid-season is
No,
all.
he can't even take the Vikings to beat the Giants in the first round of playoffs at home. What makes anyone think that Kirk Cousins is going to take this team to the Super Bowl? You had freaking Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson last year. Like, what makes you think he's going to take Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson
I
to
couldn't have
the
said it
Super
better
Bowl?
myself. Couldn't have said it better myself, but that's what's floating out there. So you're stuck, right? So you gotta roll with Zach Wilson. What I mean, what
go
else can
get
you
Davis
do?
Davis Mills is better than Zach Wilson. Go trade for Davis Mills. Give the Texans a fourth round pick and just roll the dice. Just be like, all right, maybe somehow Rodgers comes back. Let Davis Mills play. Davis Mills.
Bring back Mike White.
Yeah. I mean, Mike White came in for who he's on he ain't going to leave the Dolphins. He's got the best job in the world. If Tua gets hurt, Mike White rolls wide in. They're better with Tua, yes, but they're not going to lose games probably because of Mike White.
Right.
If Tua gets injured, like Mike White, like there's no way Mike White would agree to that.
Yeah, he'd be like, I'm
and I don't
good.
Think the Dolphins would either. They have one of the best backup quarterbacks in the league. Like, you know what they need to do? The Jets need to call up Chad Henne out of retirement. Chad Henne needs to come back.
Nah, get your boy Matty Ice. Get him out the booth.
Nah, he's bad. He may be worse than Zach Wilson.
Oh man.
At this point.
Yeah. But you realize though, if you do this, like if you pull someone else in instead of Zach Wilson, like you're done with Zach. You can't do that twice to him.
Send Zach Wilson in a fourth round for Davis Mills right now.
That's your number one. That's your first round pick. That's your quarterback, Teddy. That's the Jets quarterback. So you're
no,
done.
he's proven that he can't win. Like there's a difference between like what like Jordan Love, you know, he came back from behind and won. Like he has something there like you can build upon. You can't build upon anything with Zach Wilson. Trey Lance, if Dak gets hurt, like there's something there with Trey Lance, I think still.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing there. And there's also, there may not be nothing there with Justin Fields. But I tell you, Zach Wilson, like Joshua Dobbs right now, if the Jets are for real, you trade straight up Zach Wilson for Joshua Dobbs.
Oh,
I'd rather have
God.
Joshua Dobbs as my starting quarterback right now
than
Zach Wilson.
God, that's how far has Zach Wilson fallen, man? That's incredible. I mean, not in a good way. I've tried to be sympathetic for the kid, but he just can't play. He just can't play quarterback, and it's just so obvious at this point. It's like, what do you do? You got to trade him. But if you trade him now, I guess you do give yourself a better chance, and you just have to draft a quarterback in the third, second round. I mean, you got a good quarterback class hopefully coming out this year, and you try to trade up and get somebody, I guess, and then Rodgers comes back next year. But I don't know if I'm even sold on the idea of Rodgers even coming back this season. I know people are saying that he's got the special Achilles doctor, but man, this dude is 40 years old. Even Brady, when Brady blew out his knee, wasn't that old. So we'll see. I'm wishing him the best. I think it's best for football when Rodgers is in. I do not want to watch these Jets primetime games with Zach Wilson at quarterback. It is terrible. All those games are terrible now. So I think in 2 weeks, they got the 49ers on like Sunday Night Football, and they got like the Chargers on Monday Night Football. And they're going to get blown out in both those games with Zach Wilson. Like that.
Well, let's not talk about who they have this Sunday night. They got to go and play Kansas City.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my God. Yeah, see, those games I do not want to see. I do not want to see. They take them off, flex them out. It's going to be bad. So it's bad for the league that Aaron Rodgers is out, and that we got to watch a bad quarterback from Zach Wilson. So I don't even know what more to say about them. Robert Saleh, you got to figure something out, because I know that defense is going to be pissed off, and you're going to all of a sudden be getting these phantom illnesses and injuries, because what's the point, right? We're just going to not be able to win these games with this guy at quarterback, and no one liked him in the locker room before, and I don't know if they've really changed their tune now since from 1 year ago. So, I don't know. I know I mentioned the Chargers too as well. Let me flip gears real quick, but stay in the AFC. What a loser game the Chargers Vikings was.
Man, I was sweating this one because I had the Chargers money line on this one.
Nice. Good win.
Responsibly, a little few bucks, nothing big. Because, I mean, it came down when the Vikings were driving. I was like, oh my God, the Chargers are just out. Charge of the Vikings. Like this was just like a ING off. Like you're either chargering or you're Vikinging. I don't even know if that's a word, but like the way this game was went back and forth, and then I mean, you said it, Brandon Staley going for it on his own 25. I was like, this is it. This is the worst bet of my life. That was wild. If the Vikings wouldn't have Kirk Cousined, I think Brandon Staley might have got fired for that.
Absolutely. This man, I was lost. I almost lost my mind. This was as bad a decision, coaching decision of the weekend, as the Raiders kicking that field goal down by 8. That was against the Steelers.
What was that?
That Josh McDaniels and Brandon Staley have to be two of the dumbest coaches in the league right now. I just don't understand. So just keep it focused on Brandon Staley. Just for context, if you didn't see the game, there was about a little over a minute left. Or maybe almost 2 minutes. Oh, it was over 2 minutes. Sorry, they had a 2 minute warning. Minnesota had no timeouts. The Chargers are up by 4. And it's fourth down on their own 25-yard line. And Brandon Staley decides to run a fullback dive and gets stuffed. There's so many things wrong with that situation. It's hard for me to start. One, punt the football. Like, they have no timeouts left. Just punt the football and make them go 60, 70 yards to try to score the game-winning touchdown. That's the biggest one, obviously. Number two, why are you giving it to who was the number 45, 44, a dude that's never touched the ball all game? I'd have felt better if he threw a wide receiver screen, because they're great, to Keenan Allen, who was balling. Just like, give Keenan Allen the ball or something, or give it to an actual running back. But to run a fullback dive on your own 25, up 4? What are you doing, Brandon Staley? You're a defensive coach. How could you not punt the ball and just play defense? I don't understand. I was like, you know what, man? Maybe I could be an NFL coach. I know there's a lot of other things I don't know, but I damn sure I'm not getting that one wrong. Are you kidding me? So he ends up getting bailed out, obviously.
Just a wild play call.
I
mean, if you're gonna go for it, at least put it in the hands of your best players.
Thank
I mean,
you.
Maybe just roll out, you know, Justin Herbert, which we need to free Justin Herbert from Brandon Staley. Man,
oh, please,
I feel so bad for him. Justin Herbert, 400 something yards, 70%+ completion. I mean, he's doing all he can. Mike Williams went down towards ACL. RIP to him.
Dude, 40 for 47, 405, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
In spite of Brandon, dude. And he's, man, see, I love Justin Herbert, man. That's he's so good. Doesn't say a word. He's like, bro, I know I'm in a shitty situation. I'm just going to go ball. I love it. Love it.
He just balled out.
Yeah. Free Justin Herbert, man. Like, fire Brandon Staley. The Chargers got bailed out, so he's going to keep his job. Man, Kirk Cousins, like you said, Kirk Cousins. Threw a pass into the end zone. It got tipped. It wasn't really a good ball. It wasn't a good read.
It wasn't even that. It was, why didn't they spike it?
Oh, yeah. They called a play.
Yeah, why don't you take the time to – because they had no timeouts, obviously, but you were on, like, what, the 8 or whatever it was?
About 8, 7
yards. Take the time to spike it. You had plenty of time. It wasn't like – you had plenty of time to run like 2 or 3 plays even after you spiked it. You know, you had time to run a second, third, and fourth down play before the game was over. And, you know, his reasoning was, oh, we're trying to catch him off guard. I was like, no.
What?
I was like, that's fine if you're going to catch him off guard, but you can't catch him off guard when you're throwing in the 3 defenders.
Exactly. Kirk Cousins, just Kirk Cousins. Like, he got him down there. Granted, he only had to go 25 yards, but he got him in the red zone and got him close and ended up throwing the interception into triple coverage, a tip ball. And I don't, it was just such, there were so many losing plays around. And I love the fact that Justin Herbert's over here just trying to ball out and do everything he can to just win this game, just quietly, not saying a word, not doing too much, just slinging it. Keenan Allen with a huge game for 18 catches for 215. Like, they can't win with this Staley guy. He's got to go. He's got to go. I can't say you can't win because you did. You technically did. But when the quarterback is winning in spite of the head coach, and it's so obvious, like, even if you're a non-football person, you got to be able to see this, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Brandon Staley did was stupid. I don't care what the analytics say. If analytics nerds can fight me, whatever. You don't do that. You don't even do that in Madden when the game don't count for nothing. You don't do that. So I just had to get that out there. And then also I made a note too about to the Raiders, Josh McDaniels. I don't know what he was doing either. Situation for him. He's down by 8, about a little over a minute left. It's fourth down inside the Pittsburgh's 10, and he kicks a field goal. I don't, Ted, can you explain what the math says on being down 8 with a minute 30 left and to kick a field goal?
The math is not very likely you're going to win the football game. I mean, I kind of get it, because then you make it, you're only down 5, but then you got to kind of get the ball back.
Exactly.
And then the other reason is they didn't have enough timeout. So I would rather score the touchdown first and then try the onside and then get the ball back, because you have to go less yards for a field goal, obviously, than you do a touchdown.
No, but they were down by 8. It was 23-15.
Oh, true. Yeah.
He just scores a touchdown, 2-point. You've tied the game. And you just got to play defense. Yeah,
and in worst case, if you miss the 2-point, you can onside kick it.
Yes.
And then they still have 2 timeouts left. So they could have got the ball back with, what, like 8 seconds left or whatever it was?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't understand what these coaches, right? I'm this is my last rant, I swear, y'all. But I have a defensive head coach who doesn't trust his defense to punt the football and play defense in the Chargers. I got an offensive head coach in Josh McDaniels who doesn't trust his offense to be able to score a touchdown and 2-point conversion and kicks a field goal. What are we doing here, ladies and gentlemen? This is if you're gonna be a specialty coach on one side of the ball, you got to be able to be confident on that side of the ball and play to that strength. But when you go the opposite way, you look stupid. Clearly, you don't know what you're doing. So I usually don't harp on head coaches too much, but like when something like these basic decisions to me do not get made, it's a little tough to watch. It puts the players in a bad spot, and I don't think it gives the players a fair shot to win football games. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. You said it best. Speaking of surprises, though, and teams that have a good coach, the Houston Texans, man, I think they found their quarterback. I think it's safe to say that CJ Stroud is that guy. He can be a franchise quarterback. I know that we're quick to rush judgment on a lot of these quarterbacks nowadays, but you can tell he gets it. Like, the game is not too fast for him. Mm-hmm. Like, he reads quarterbacks. Like, if you redraft, he goes 1, right? And there's draft.
Sure.
Like, if you do a redraft, like, it's him and then probably Bijan and then probably what, Christian Gonzalez, the cornerback for the Patriots, is probably 3.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously the 2 Eagles steals are probably 4 and 5. And then probably Bryce Young. But I mean, they absolutely flat out beat the Jaguars. It wasn't like one of those things to where like, oh, they snuck in and they won. They won by 20 points on the road. What do you think? Are the Texans the real, like, are the Texans okay football team? I'm not going to say they're good by any means. I still think they've won 5 to 6 games.
Are the Jags
bad? Is that a wide open conference now or division?
It's both. I think both things are true. I think the Jags are not playing as good a football as they should be right now. And I don't know if it's I don't see a lot of the same explosiveness and creativity on the offensive side of the ball. And the defensive side is like, CJ Stroud's still a rookie quarterback and he is just hanging numbers on y'all. 20 for 30, 280 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's not a good secondary, and the Jaguars had a really great secondary last year. So I don't know what's going on the defensive side of the ball. Both sides just looks off. It just doesn't look like it's clicking right now. It may turn around. It's a long season, but as of today, It's a combination of both. The Texans are a tough out. They're up there, what I would say, the Arizona Cardinals as, if you play this team, you better bring your lunch pail. Like, they're not just going to roll over for you. I think with Tennessee losing this past week to the Browns, the division is pretty open. We were seeing out of Tennessee is a, I just feel like a slow team. It's just, there's not another place where there's not a lot of creativity and not a lot of options on the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, this I would argue that right now, yeah, the Texans and Colts have the best offenses in the AFC South. Jacksonville's not even close yet. I'd maybe put Houston above them. Only reason I'm hesitant is because Michael Pittman Jr. for the Colts is just balling out right now, and Richardson's hurt. So if Richardson's hurt and can't really go, and talk about the Colts beating the Ravens. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah, with
So
Gardner Minshew, I mean, shout out to the stash.
yeah, so the Colts and the Texans are no easy game by any stretch of the imagination, which is something I don't think anyone thought going into this season. So I think that the answer to your question is both. I think the Jags are not as good a football team defensively as they should be at this point in the season, and that the Texans and CJ Stroud, he is, like you said it very well, he's seeing the field the best of the rookie quarterbacks in this class. And he doesn't even really have a great offensive line, but you can tell he knows when to get rid of the ball. He knows how to stay away from the big bad play, like the
Yep.
huge bad play as a rookie that'll screw over your team and put him in bad situations. So shout out to him, man. He got a lot of flack probably coming out that he was the worst of the quarterbacks that they got that got drafted. But you know, I think the Texans did a good job moving up to get him. But yeah, this game was shocking. Like the Texans are up 17-0 at halftime.
Yeah,
Excuse me.
that was wild. And the Jaguars, just to go back to them real quick, even last week against the Chiefs don't have a all-world defense. Obviously, they had the Jaguars and the Bears the last 2 weeks, so it's kind of hard to tell how like good or bad their defense is. But like the Jacksons scored a touchdown last week, you know, so it's like it's something's wrong with this offense. And it's it if it's I personally think they got to play Tank Bigsby more, and it's not going to solve everything. They got to play him more than ETN. I think the reason why they're not doing it yet is because they used stupidly used a first round pick on ETN, and I said it when he got drafted. I don't think he's a first round running back. He's not a three down back. I think they drafted him more because the familiarity with him and Lawrence as teammates at Clemson. And it's not all on him to say their O-line's not very good. The Texans got after them constantly, and you know the Texans were a bottom feeder defense last year. Obviously, with scheme changes and the defensive-minded head coach and D'Amico Ryans, obviously, their defense was going to be better no matter what this year because it couldn't get much, you know, more worse than it did last year from last year. Yeah, the Jaguars are just. I think they're just not very good. I don't know if if Doug's lost that team or if they're just going through a rough patch. I still think they'll ride it, and I think they'll win the division.
I agree.
I don't think I don't think Richardson will stay healthy enough. The Texans are they're not there yet, obviously, and they won't be for a couple of years. So, you know, I think the Jacks still win the division, but it was. I think the Texans can beat the Steelers this week.
Really?
I don't think the Steelers are a very good football team.
Okay,
They're gonna
okay.
do those things where the Steelers win. They're gonna go 9-8. You know, Mike Tomlin's, you know, gonna have a winning season. I don't think Kenny Pickett is that good. I think defense has kind of started to figure him out. The Raiders are just a bad football team. I mean, there's no way around it. I think that was just a bad football team, a bad game. Would I be shocked if the Texans lost? No. Would I be shocked if they win against the Steelers? No. Put a gun on my head. I think the Texans ride the momentum, and I think they beat the Steelers. I think the Steelers are a fake 2-1. Just kind of like I feel the Raiders were, you know, a fake 1-1 team.
My only thing against picking the Texans is that I know CJ Stroud has proven he's pretty good, but going against a Mike Tomlin defense with against TJ Watt and Minka, I think he's back. I don't think he's hurt. Yeah, he's
Yeah,
in.
he played
He played
yesterday.
last week. Yeah, so I think that's gonna
I
be
heard
tough
something.
on a rookie quarterback. Granted, they are at home. Steelers are a 3-point favorite for all you connoisseurs out there. I think the Steelers go in and win, but that line is about right. I think the Steelers win by 6. But I could see it going the other way. I just think that the blitzes that the Steelers are going to be able to do in that pass rush is really going to hurt Stroud. He's going to be like, "Oh, snap. I haven't seen this before," kind of situation. But I don't believe in Kenny Pickett. You see, I'm talking all about the defense. I'm not talking about the Steelers offense because I think that is, you're right. That's a sham quite a bit because Matt Canada up there, I don't know what kind of offense they're running, but I don't know if you saw last week, they kept throwing up stats that the Steelers have the least amount of passes over 20 yards and the least amount of touchdowns over like 15 yards in the NFL over the past like 3 years. So this offense is not very good. I don't think it's good this year, but I think that defense is going to cause Stroud some problems. So I think the line is about right at 6. Maybe the Steelers win by 4, would be my guess.
I don't know. That's a crazy line to me. I mean, that's just giving the Steelers way too much credit for beating
The
the
Raiders.
Raiders.
They were 1-1, though.
But
Just kidding.
it is what it is.
It is indeed. Last thing before we go for y'all, we've got another sport that's going on right now, almost at October. It's MLB baseball and the Houston Astros. I got to talk about the Astros. Got to put them in at least once. Verlander had a great game last night against the Mariners. Astros ended up winning 5-1. I want to say we're a game and a half back still, or are we 2.5 back now? I don't know as of this
The
morning.
Rangers won last night, so I think we're 2.5 back still.
Okay, so we're 2.5 back. What I think 4 games left. I don't know. I don't know if we could win the division. I think the Rangers play. Who are they playing right now? The
They're playing the Angels. They won
Oh
last
yeah,
night.
that's right. They have the Angels and
They
Mariners.
basically, so the way to win it, the path to win a division is basically, we have to win out for the most part, and then they basically have to lose two of the I think 6 remaining games they have, because they have a 4-game set with the Mariners after us. So they have 6 games left. The Astros have 5 games left. Basically, the Astros need to sweep the Mariners and the D-backs. Luckily, they're both on the road, so we're a better road team. We're actually 47-29 on the road, as opposed to 39-42 at home, which is
Jeez.
crazy.
Another asinine stat.
Yeah, that's a wild stat. We have the M's 2 more times and then play the Diamondbacks. The problem is Diamondbacks are also fighting for a wild card spot, so that's not a gimme series at all. Right now, they are basically tied with the Cubs for the second and third. So basically, the last two spots in a wild card.
Yes.
And then the Marlins are right behind them, one game back. So Diamondbacks have something to play for. I don't.
Everybody does, I think, left in those in the series that everyone's playing, right? Except for the A's don't, that the Rangers are playing, but the Mariners and obviously the Rangers will, and then us and the Diamondbacks will. So those last couple games are all going to mean something.
Right. So I think Javier goes tonight for the Astros against the Mariners. The tricky thing is, we need to either sweep the Mariners or win the series, and then they have to lose like at least one, and then we have to win two because against the Diamondbacks, because they hold the season tiebreaker. So if we finish the same
Oh.
record, we're out of the playoffs, because right now we're in the sixth and final spot in the playoff. The Blue Jays are a game and a half ahead of us.
Oh.
So that's something else to look forward. Obviously, the Rays have clinched the playoff spot, whether it's the AL East crown. They're 2.5 games back of Baltimore, so that's probably not gonna happen. But the Blue Jays have the Yankees today. And then I believe That's basically, I think they play the Yankees and
And they played the Rays.
yeah, the Rays. So that's a big series. So I mean, that's gonna, I mean, that could decide, you know, if Tampa Bay sweeps them, but if Tampa Bay is already out of contention for the East,
Yeah, they
what
may
does it
just.
really matter, that series? So there's a lot of variables and factors involved. The main thing is Astros got to win. It's inexcusable for us to lose 7 out of 10 to two different 100-plus loss teams in the last 2 weeks. Like, we came in before we started the series with the A's, 2.5 games up in the division, controlling our own destiny, and we just can't win at home. We just can't win. So obviously, as far as me, I would rather be in a wild card because obviously we're better, for some reason we're better on the road.
No kidding, right? So being a wild card may be a blessing in disguise. You're right about that. Instead of winning the division, maybe you're right. I've been focusing on that, but well, I don't know why those wild card series in the beginning just make me nervous
Yeah,
because
and
you
then if
never
we
know.
finish six, yeah, we finish six, we have to play the Twins because the first two, the basically if the Rangers win and then whoever wins out of Baltimore and Tampa get the bye, and then the four and five play, I would much rather be six than five. I don't want to play Tampa. I'll be
Oh,
honest with you
no.
right now. I don't want to play Tampa, especially Tampa having home field, even though it's a trop. Once the playoffs starts, the trop gets filled.
Yes, people
And
actually
that's
show
a
up.
weird stadium to play in, man. And then the way we're playing at home, like, I don't want no part of that. I'd rather go play the Twins just because we also have, you know, we also have the extra ammunition against the Twins, you know, with Carlos Correa being
Korea.
on that team.
Yeah, we're fired up.
But we got to take care of business first. We got to win tonight. I think this is a must win. We can stand to lose tomorrow night on Wednesday to Tuesday tonight game. I think we have to win because then we know we at least win the series against the Mariners, and then we know what we actually have to go do against the Diamondbacks in that last series at Arizona.
That's the play, Dusty. Tell the boys, tell them you got to get ready. Come on, we got to get in here. We got to turn it up. We should have turned it up a while ago against those bottom feeder teams, but here we are stuck in this situation trying to scrap for that, maybe the division crown, but at least a wild card spot. So Dusty, get the boys together, man. We can't not make the playoffs. Put it that way. I mean, the chances are slim that we don't, but never say never. And I hate having to do all these predictions of it because I don't want to see it happen. Just win the games. Win the games, boys. Just win the games. That's all I want to say.
I mean, you're right. Just win the game. I mean, we'll see how it goes. It's should be a good last 5 games of the season for the Astros.
Yes, as we head into October, and then we'll be playoff baseball, and then we'll have much more to talk about when it comes to that too. Because to be honest, that's when I really start paying attention is now end of September into October. So I'm being honest with y'all. With that said, that is our episode of Take the Shot podcast. Thank you all for listening once again. Like, subscribe on your favorite channel. You know how to do it. Rate us 5 stars, please. We appreciate it. It helps us out. Teddy, you got anything left to say for the people?
Oh, man, just have a good week. Got another good gauntlet of football, college, and pro, and we got baseball. Just be safe out there. Keep doing the right thing. And we appreciate you. Like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, please.
Absolutely. And we're getting into October, the true fall season. Hopefully it's going to cool off even more. But we are officially in fall time, and it is some of the best time for sports right now. And we look forward to keep going and y'all hearing some of our takes. We appreciate it, y'all. We'll see y'all next time.
Peace out.